This Steve Jones Show podcast is now loading. The Steve Jones Show podcast is presented by Sunbury Motor Company, Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and NIL Game Changers. Bringing you an in-depth look at Penn State sports and more, this is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. The Steve Jones Show is presented by Purdy Insurance, Brewers Outlet, and Sunbury Motor Company. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
This half hour brought to you by Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the beverage supermarket, imports, domestics, microbrews, the best selection of beer anywhere. Wine coolers, water, soft drinks, snacks. They roast their peanuts fresh and hot every day. Six great flavors of slushies. Pickle Bar, led by the Barrels and the Dills, my two favorites, indeed second to none. All at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Bevers Supermarket. Stock up for the holiday. Stock up for your tailgate right now at Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street in Sunbury, the Bevers Supermarket. Always grateful to have with us somebody I've been friends with for decades now. And you cherish friendships like Rich Scarsella. Rich, thank you so much for the time you give us.
Thank you, Steve. Thanks for having me on regularly.
Rich, in the final few minutes of the Ohio State game, we saw what Ohio State did offensively starting at the one, and they ran the game out. And Jack Ham and I said, you know, that's a championship drive. The final 5:48 of the Minnesota game, could we give the same definition to what Penn State did and call that a championship drive?
It was, I don't know if it's going to win a championship per se, but it was certainly a championship caliber drive, no doubt about that. To run 12 plays and keep the ball away from Minnesota, never giving the Gophers a chance for a go-ahead field goal or a go-ahead touchdown, that was impressive. Only the most negative of people would not be impressed by that. And I did hear from a couple that, oh, that was not a big thing. I'm like, yeah, well, it was.
It was a huge thing. When you've got the kicker like that and it's a one-point game, you can't afford to give the ball up. And let's start with the fake punt because It's interesting, when I got back to the hotel, because I did not travel with the team back because I had to come here to Florida to do basketball, who do I see at the elevator? Dominic Rulli's father, of all people. And that play, you're down there interviewing people afterward. What were some of the things that people told you about that play and the nuts and bolts of it and what he meant to it?
Well, James Franklin made that clear because I asked James the question about the fake punt, you know, how did it come about, how long have you been working on it, that kind of thing, why did you want to run it. He praised Dominic Rulli even before I asked the question, so we knew he was a big part of it calling, you know, what it was a little confusing. I didn't know if, like, Dominic had the right to call it, but he had a right to call it off if the look wasn't there. I did talk to Dom DeLuca. He was the only one. Like, we're not allowed to talk to Luke Reynolds because he's a true freshman. So right. Dom DeLuca was there, and he said it felt so good because they had been working on it since training camp. And
yes.
To finally, even he said as they lined up, he goes, this is going to work. He knew. So that it was impressive. It really was. It took a lot of courage, took a lot of guts to make the call, but the execution on it was almost flawless. You know, the blocking, you know, James mentioned Dakari Nelson today, made a great block. I think there were quite a few blocks that were made because there was nobody, I don't know if anybody laid a glove on Luke Reynolds until he got inside the 40. So it was impressive, to say the least.
It's the beginning of it, though, that's just as impressive to me. Personally, when you think about what Tyler Dzanski has to do, when he makes a snap, it's always straight back, and he has to put it on Riley Thompson's right hip. When he makes an extra point or a field goal, it's straight on. He had to dramatically angle that snap and put it where Reynolds needed it. And to me, that's an unsung part of the play that speaks to the execution of it. I just wanted to at least give him credit.
Yeah, oh, no doubt. No, he deserves a lot of credit, yeah, because it wasn't like a straight direct snap back. It was angled because Reynolds was on the – he was the third man of the three guys lined up to protect the punter. And, you know, and here's the other one. Riley Thompson played out his fake very well.
Yep.
You know, that's another thing. But like I said, I just think the execution, just, you know, you're right, starting with Tyler Dusansky, but I mean, Luke Reynolds didn't get touched. And, you know, until inside the Minnesota 40-yard line. And obviously, you know, Minnesota coach P.J. Fleck gave credit to James because it was a hell of a call. And it was. Yeah. It was a hell of a call.
It was. And what Rooley has the option is to kill it. Okay, so everybody understands.
Yeah, not there. Yep.
The look's not there. And it's been called a few times this year, and each time the look wasn't there, and this time it was. But it's also a week where Donko's long-term, Alonzo Ford is long-term. They aren't the first long-term guys this season. What has this body of work that Penn State has, what has it said about their depth, Rich, as to how this has played out to at least put them in this spot?
Well, it's certainly, you know, this is the first, I think it's the first really rough injury for the offensive line. And they're going to adjust, and they have the depth to adjust. The defensive line is another story where, you know, denied Dennis Sutton wasn't a long-term injury, but it affected him for several games. And now, you know, you had Hakeem Beamon left the team earlier this year.
Yep.
And now you have Alonzo Ford, who hadn't played in 2 years. And now he was coming on very well, and then, you know, he gets injured on a play on which the Minnesota offensive lineman was holding him. There was no call. It's a shame. It's too bad. But they've lost. You know, Tyler Warren on my mind. KJ Winston was a big loss, we thought, and it is because he's a terrific player.
Yeah.
But Jalen Reed and Zaki Wheatley have stepped up in a big way, and the depth at cornerback, how much depth is there, that has helped overcome Winston's injury. So, yeah, I mean, and then you have Nick Singleton, who, you know, had a lower body injury, missed the UCLA game, and then, you know, he's rounding back into form. It's obvious the last 2-3 games.
Oh yeah, no, you could see a couple of weeks ago, I was watching practice. Like he's, you know, you could see the jump was there again, without question. You did bring up Tyler Warren.
Mm-hmm.
It's interesting when I do a lot of these interviews. I think what Warren does is so obvious. I don't usually bring him up. Because we'll talk about other things. But now we've watched a full season of this, and he's still making catches and plays despite the fact that, Rich, he's got to be the number one guy in the scouting report.
Yeah. I mean, Steve, early on you could see Minnesota was paying a lot of attention to him. And then I think Andy Kotelnicki made some adjustments, and especially at halftime. And he came out of that third quarter, and they were getting the ball to him. Drew was getting the ball to him. You know, I want to say something on that last play, fourth and one from the 14 with 27 seconds to go. Talk about a play. I mean, the original, the primary target was Nick Singleton in the right flat.
That's right.
A corner and a linebacker who drifted over toward him. Drew stops in his tracks, turns to his left. Tyler Warren's waving his arms, and he lobs. He's wide open, and he falls down at the 3-yard line to end the game. I mean, there were 20 seconds left, but Minnesota had no timeouts left. You talk about execution by all of those guys, and the other thing is that Drew wanted that play, and James Franklin confirmed it, you know, about an hour or so ago at his weekly press conference. And to have the presence of mind and the composure to go, oh, Nick's covered. Oh, I got to change. And Drew finds Tyler Warren, who ran his route. He didn't stop. He ran his route. He did what he was supposed to do, of course. And he was wide open.
And as outstanding a freshman as Coy Parrish is, the safety for Minnesota, and he is a terrific player. Guess who lost Warren on the play?
He did. Oh, yeah. You could see him, his reaction right out, you know, as soon as Tyler fell to the ground. And he had the same reaction on the fake punt, because I think he made the tackle on the fake punt, you know, at the Minnesota 34.
Yeah.
He's a terrific player. He has a great career ahead of him.
I mean, of all the things. Now, on the fake punt, he's just trying to make – he's back. He's
yeah,
back
no,
to receive
no,
the punt.
No, the fake punt's not on him. I mean, he's the returner. No.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, somebody had to save them, and he did.
Yeah.
it was a tough, hard-fought football game at this stage of the season. What did you learn on Saturday that maybe you weren't sure about and found out?
Wow. What did I learn on Saturday other than, I mean, we've seen Penn State come from behind before this, you know, earlier this year. I mean, several times.
Sure.
Bowling Green, USC, Wisconsin.
Yeah.
I mean, we knew they were resilient, and you knew they were going to play well in the second half, and they did. We did. I mean, I think Nolan Rucci had a pretty good game replacing Donko after he was hurt on the second play.
I agree.
The one thing I did notice, Steve, on that drive to end the game is that the two guys who touched the ball, and I'm not counting Drew because he's a quarterback, he touches in every play, were Tyler Warren and Nick Singleton, the two best offensive weapons. And I think my guess is that the Penn State coaching staff may have learned a lesson from the goal line situation against Ohio State, where neither one of them touched the ball. And they were productive, both of them.
Yeah.
You know, were productive on that drive. And Drew, I didn't learn this because I've known this. Drew's a tough son of a gun.
Oh, you know what? I'm not so sure. Look, I think a lot of people appreciate, Penn State fans appreciate Drew a lot.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not so sure the critics, and you're entitled to your opinion, but I don't think people understand what an incredibly high level their quarterback is playing at right now.
I will agree with you on that. I think the fact I wrote about him last week. He's in complete command of the offense. Knows who's in, who's on the field, who's not, and that's not easy because of all the personnel changes play by play with Andy Kotelnicki. But he is in complete command. I don't know if there's ever been a time this season, and I can't remember one that he looked panicked in the pocket. I don't remember. I can't remember.
Right.
So I just think that. And then I didn't think he threw the ball. That was not his best throwing game, especially early on. He missed some open receivers. But then you look at the end of the game, and he had a great second half. He was 21 for 28. And, there was, that secondary, as you know, leads the Big Ten with 16 interceptions, and there was only one pass that it was a tip pass in the first half that came close to being intercepted.
That's right.
I think he's playing terrific. I don't think he'll get the postseason recognition that he deserves because he doesn't have 30 touchdown passes or 4,000 yards. Yeah, I'm just throwing numbers out. Even though he's fifth in the country in efficiency, and I wrote this in the real critical stat, yards per attempt, he was third. I think he's still third. I'd have to look again this week.
Right.
But I think he's been really impressive.
It was also an interesting weekend where a lot of playoff contenders lost. What does it tell us about the balance of college football, in your opinion? And what does it tell everybody about Penn State's position in that balance?
Yeah. Well, it tells you these super conferences, when you're expanding, some schools better be careful what they wish for, because, you know, you're playing a lot of teams that were in other conferences that not necessarily all of them are blue bloods, but you know what I'm saying? Like, there's a lot of tradition in a lot of these programs, like in Oklahoma. You would have never seen that coming. I mean, I never saw that coming, Oklahoma dismantling Alabama like it did.
I never saw that.
There is
never
a lot of parity in this, in college football. And, you know, once Penn State lost to Ohio State, for them, you don't want to put the decision about the college football playoff in the hands of the committee. To me, it was win in advance, survive in advance. And that's exactly what Penn State did Saturday. They survived in advance. And, you know, they're 24-point favorites against Maryland on Saturday. You know, 11-1, I don't care who you're playing, is a pretty good season. And they're going to get a home game in the playoff, probably.
The expression I used in the Ohio State postgame show, I said, look, it didn't go the way everybody hoped. You know, I'm talking about the fans as they're listening on their car radios leaving. I said, the way you wanted to. I said, but I want to let everybody know, you're now in a four-game playoff to make the playoff. Mm-hmm. Well, and that's how I phrased it then, and I've been counting it down. Now it's a one-game playoff to make the playoff. You win Saturday, okay, two loss teams are in the opinion pool. A one-loss team is not.
No. No, including Indiana. If
that's
Indiana,
right.
As they should win this week, they've got to be in at 11-1.
Yeah.
And I agree. I mean, 11-1 locks up the ends. There are no arguments about whether you're in the field or not in the field. Now, there'll still be some people, I don't understand why, but still some people who argue that Penn State shouldn't get a home game. At 11-1, that's beyond me. I don't understand that. But the fact is, if Penn State wins Saturday, the Lions will have a home game in the playoff on the 20th or 21st of December.
Rich, outstanding as always. Thanks so much. I just always enjoy the conversations. And your Packers looked good yesterday.
They did.
Yeah.
We're happy Packers fans. A few of us on the Penn State beat. We're very happy.
There are more Packers fans in this Penn State beat than people realize.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's Audrey Snyder and Daniel Gallen we're all Packers fans, and we text each other during games, and it's very enjoyable.
and very
frustrating at times.
Oh, I know. Yeah, it's good. It's not going to be perfect. Could be worse. You could be a Giants fan. I'm trying to think who that might be.
That's rough.
Best thing that ever happened to Saquon Barkley was to get out of there and go to Philadelphia. Couldn't have worked out any better. Yep, great for him. Rich, thanks so much. And to you and that great family of yours, and they are great, happy Thanksgiving.
Same to you and your family, Steve. Stay warm down there.
Thanks. Yeah, I think I'm okay for the moment. Talk to me tomorrow night when I get off. Talk to me tomorrow night when I get off the plane.
Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Rich. All right, we'll come back in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Game time or just fun time, doesn't matter what time it is, because it's Brewers Outlet time. The Beverage Supermarket has the area's largest beer selection, imports, microbrews, ciders, and domestics. Pick from over 100 ice-cold 12-packs and dozens of 24-ounce singles. Soda, snacks, hot sauces, fresh roasted peanuts. Make it one-stop party shopping, and don't forget the pickle bar. So whatever you're celebrating or just doing it up, Brewers Outlet, Reagan Street, Sunbury, wants to see you. And thank you for your years of patronage.
Hi, this is Season. For over 100 years, the Purdy Insurance Agency has been protecting families and businesses of the greater Susquehanna Valley and beyond. With the experience of our trained and knowledgeable staff, you can rest assured that your needs will be evaluated and met by some of the industry's best representatives. No matter what your insurance needs are, call Purdy Insurance today at 570-286-5855. Visit our website at purdyinsurance.com or check us out on Facebook to see what we can do for you.